Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
State of Arizona versus Lori Daybell. The parties are present. The jury is not present. Give me a second here. Do you have the thing up where you can seal the lock for the FTR? All right, we're gonna do a sidecar and then I'll have you lock it into that.
All right. I think because of the number of people I need to talk with, I'm going to do a sidebar up here. Come on up. All right. Do you want to get your next witness ready? All right, please be seated. The jury is present. Members of the jury, thank you for your patience. We had to resolve an issue this morning.
please don't speculate on that, and it's no one's fault as to why there was a delay getting started this morning. If you'll recall, on Friday afternoon, we started testimony from the case agent who's seated at the prosecutor's table. And we're going to take another witness out of order now, so we'll resume him at a later time. But at this time, the state's going to take a witness out of order. Go ahead and call your next witness.
Thank you. The state will call Daniel Moss.
All right, so you're going to come stand right here in front of my clerk, and she's going to swear you in.
Hello. Can you please state and spell your first and last name?
Daniel Moss.
Raise your right hand, please. You do solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Walk around the court reporter up the ring.
All right, right up here.
And if you can scoot in close to the mic, thank you. Would you please introduce yourself to the jury?
My name's Danny Moss, Dan Moss. I own a window tinting shop in Idaho, Rexburg, Idaho.
How long have you owned a window tinting shop there in Rexburg, Idaho?
Since 2008.
And is it just you working there, or do you have others working for you?
We have other employees.
Okay. Do you have a website for your company?
Yes.
And how do you get business? Do people come in? Can they call you to get a quote? What happens when someone is interested in getting their car tinted?
They can stop by and get a quote. They can email us through the website. There's a phone number on the website. They can call, text. Pretty much, we make it as easy as possible.
Okay. If someone calls, who answers? Is there like an office phone or?
There's a shop phone, so it could be me or one of the other employees.
Okay. And if someone calls in and requests a window tint job, how do you set up sometimes to tell them when an appointment might be available?
If somebody calls in, we just pull out a calendar right then and just give them some dates and times that they can come by. They can, if that doesn't work for them, usually they can drop off the car before hours or after hours.
Okay. Do you ever send them like a text saying, we have an appointment available at this time? Would that work for you?
Every day.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit about window tint in general. Are there different levels or percentages of tinting that are put on?
Yeah, there's it's called the VLT percentage, visual light transmittance. So what your eye can see, not infrared or ultraviolet, but the visual light that comes through the glass is represented by a number. And the window film manufacturers assign that number to how dark the film is.
Okay.
So 5% window film only lets in 5% of the visible light. 70% lets in 70% of the light, essentially looks clear, where 5% is black, really dark.
Okay. So if someone puts 5% VLT onto a vehicle, are you able to see into that car?
No.
What about 20%? What is that?
You can see like a silhouette of somebody that's in there.
Okay. And can people do different percentages like front or rear windows?
Yep.
Okay. Now, I want to talk to you about some business that you did with back on September 23rd and 25th of 2019. I've shown the defendant Exhibit 183. If I can have my paralegal approach with that. If you take a look at that, does that contain an affidavit that you signed authenticating some different screenshots from the business phone, as well as screenshots from your camera system in your business?
Yes, it does.
And do those relate to a phone call that was received on September 23rd at 1:54 p.m. from a 480-351-9120 number?
Yes.
And then sort of the business of tinting relating to that initial call?
Yes.
The state will move to admit Exhibit 183. I believe that's what I said.
183 is a packet?
Yes.
Relevant, Your Honor.
All right. The exhibit is admitted. You said 81?
183.
I'm sorry. I wasn't even close. 183.
All right. And if I could have the Elmo. Thank you. All right. I start with sort of what is described in this as, let me zoom out. Were you contacted at some point by law enforcement and asked about an individual with that 480-320 number contacting your business to have window tint put on a Jeep?
Yes.
And did you, in fact, end up scheduling an appointment and, in fact, putting tint on a Jeep?
Yes.
So did you provide law enforcement, starting with this first page of 183's attachments, a screenshot of your phone showing when you received that first call from the 480-320 number?
Yeah.
And so this was September 23rd of 2019?
Yes.
And then that was at the 1:54 p.m.?
Yes.
Now, it's a couple days later, did you or your business reach back to that 480-351 and advise them that you had an appointment available?
Yes.
I'm going to zoom in a little on this. Is this, I guess, the message that was sent that was kept as part of your business records regarding setting up a time for this individual to bring in their Jeep?
Yes.
So on September 25th, they were advised they could drop the Jeep off at 9 to have work done?
Yes.
Okay. Was this a message that you sent out?
Yes.
And so when you're sending this in the morning at 7:27 a.m. and you're advising them that they can drop off the car and it will be worked on?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to put up. Can you describe for us what we see here?
Looks like I'm cleaning some windows, just about ready to put some film on that door. Okay. Glass.
So this is you, actually, you did the work on this Jeep Wrangler.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you about, this is the vehicle that was associated with the 480-351-9120 number.
Yeah.
Now this is a two-door Jeep Wrangler?
Yes.
When you are looking at a vehicle like a Jeep Wrangler, do they come with factory tint on them?
Yes.
So when a vehicle has factory tint on it, what do you do when they're brought in to put tint on them?
All the time, people come in and ask, to darken the factory tinted glass, because the factory tinted glass is usually like a 20% VLT. And you just layer another dark layer on top of it.
Okay. So you don't have to try to take off that other tint. You're just putting another layer on top of it.
Yep. Okay.
So in this case, you said you were cleaning. We can see a spray bottle. You clean the glass before you put the next layer on?
Yep.
When you are talking about different percentages of tint, in this case, do you recall being asked to put a 5% tint on the rear windows?
Yes.
So if there's already tint on the car and then you add the 5%, does that make it even darker than the what we would expect on a normal 5%?
Yeah. If you slide a VLT meter on there, like all officers have usually in their car, it will usually net like 2% or 0% VLT.
And so would that mean you can't see anything in the back?
Yeah, dark.
So if someone was laying or sitting in the back of this Jeep and you tried to walk by and look in there, you wouldn't be able to see it.
Objection. No. Speculation.
Overruled.
Having worked on these cars and seen what this looks like, are you familiar with whether or not you can see someone inside the vehicle with that dark of tint?
Yes, definitely.
So from your personal experience, you are telling us that with the 5% and then the additional factory tint, you would not be able to see into the back of that Jeep.
Broad daylight, you can't see in.
Now the 20% that's in these front windows on top of the factory, would you still have some ability to see in?
Yes.
Okay. When you were talking to us earlier, you said that people are able to drop off their vehicles to be worked on?
Yes.
Do you recall in this case whether or not you saw the person who dropped this off?
I do not.
Okay. Now, we see that you have some cameras inside your shop for you to work on. Did you attempt to screenshot images to show the rear license plate of this vehicle?
Yes.
And I'm going to put some of these up, also part of packet 183. Do you recall the colors of the license plate on that Jeep?
They were white.
Okay. Did it have black lettering?
Yes.
Okay. So is that an Idaho plate?
No.
Okay. Did you know what state plate that was?
Texas.
Texas?
Could I get you to speak up just a little bit? Thanks.
So it was a white plate with black lettering that you recognized to be from Texas?
Yes.
But you were unable to get the exact lettering of that plate from your surveillance system.
Correct. At the distance and angle, it was blurry.
Okay. One other question in this. On this Jeep, did you note there was like a sticker down here on
yes.
the front windshield?
Yeah.
So that was there when the Jeep was brought in and dropped off to you?
Yes.
Okay. When you are completed with the job, do you send a sort of receipt of some type?
Yes.
And do we see that here as a part again of Exhibit 183?
Yes.
And did that describe the work you did?
Yes.
So we see again, this was sent to the 480-351-9120?
Yes.
So we know it was a Jeep Wrangler, what we saw in the photograph?
Yes.
With the Texas license plate?
Yes.
And so it was 200, how much you charged?
Yes.
And then It says 5% rear and 20% front. What does that mean then?
That we put 5% window film on the back three windows and 20% on the front doors.
And then with our start and end time, does that mean that you completed this work in about an hour on September 25th of 2019?
Approximately.
Do you recall seeing the individual who had this Jeep ever pick it up?
I don't.
So did you have any contact with the owner that you recall at this
Not
point?
Not that I can recall.
So other than knowing that you were dealing with this Jeep that was documented, the two-door Wrangler associated to that 480-351-9120 number, you can't tell us anything else about the owner?
Correct.
State has no other questions, Your Honor.
Cross-examination?
No questions, Your Honor.
All right. Are there any questions for this witness from the jury? I don't see any. All right, sir, you can step down.
Thank you.
State can call its next witness.
Thank you.
All right, sir, come on up. You're going to stand right here in front of my clerk and be sworn in.
Hello. Can you please state and spell your first and last name?
Thomas Miller, T-H-O-M-A-S-M-I-L-L-E-R.
Thank you. Raise your right hand. You do solemnly swear the testimony about to give. Will be the truth. The whole truth. You will be the truth. So help you God.
I
do. Okay, on the corner of the ring.
Would you please introduce yourself to the jury?
Special Agent Thomas Miller with the Drug Enforcement Administration.
How long have you worked for the Drug Enforcement Administration?
Approximately 27 years.
What do you do there?
I currently am the unit chief of the National License Plate Reader Program for the DEA.
Can you tell us what the National License Plate Reader Program is?
It's a law enforcement tool that was developed and utilized by the DEA to enforce its Title 21 statutory authority to facilitate drug trafficking investigations and any other drug-related crimes in the drug trade.
So in there, we hear the term license plate reader. What is that? What is a license plate reader? How does that work?
It is a camera that we normally have positioned on any known drug route utilized by drug traffickers. A lot of the LPRs have a software. It's called optical character recognition, or better known as OCR. What this OCR software allows the LPR camera to trigger on the alphanumeric characters on a license plate, and it will create an image or images And simultaneously, it will also create a XML or a textual file. And at that time, the images and the text file are then paired up and is then saved in the DEA server.
Okay. You used the term LPR. Is that shorthand for something?
Yes, a license plate reader.
Okay. So it's easier for us to say LPR.
Yes.
Is there a system called DSL that relates to the National License Plate Reader Program?
Yes, DSL is our tactical query and alert system. And stands for the DEA Special Intelligence Link. And that's how we access the information that is saved from the LPR cameras.
Okay. So can law enforcement agencies outside of the DEA access this DSL system to determine if any of the cameras have caught a specific license plate?
Yes. The El Paso Intelligence Center, where the DSL platform is located, they will vet state, local, tribal, and other federal law enforcement personnel to have or gain access to our DSL platform.
Okay. So certain law enforcement agencies can get access to access DSL to see if a license plate has been read on any of the cameras?
Yes, as long as it's they're ingested into our DSL platform.
And by ingested, what do you mean?
After the LPR camera that does feed into the DSL platform, it will go into the DSL platform where they can access that.
Do all of these license plate readers capture like just a photo of the license plate, or is it the vehicle? What are we getting in this system?
Depending on the vendor camera and the OCR or the optical character recognition software, it will sometimes give you a visual of just the plate, and then other times it'll be the back plate, possibly depending on the position of another camera, the front plate, and sometimes an overall picture of the entire vehicle.
Okay. So if someone is driving on an interstate where one of these license plate readers are located, depending on the camera, it may capture a photo of the vehicle and of their license plate?
Correct.
Okay. Do all of these license plate reader cameras just look at the back of vehicles?
No. A DEA will sometimes also place cameras that read the front license plates. Usually we do this more for tractor trailers or semi-trucks who have a front plate that is different than the plate on the trailer.
I want to talk to you about the license plate reader near Holbrook, Arizona. For that reader on the I-40, does that camera capture the front or the back, or what does that camera capture there?
It captures the back plate, and there's two cameras, one each covering the two lanes on that road going westbound.
I've shown the defendant Exhibit 121. My paralegal can approach. Sir, if you can take a look at Exhibit 121, let me know if you recognize the affidavit as well as the documents associated with it.
Yes, I do.
And does that contain an affidavit authenticating those records as well as a DSL sighting of a license plate from your National License Plate Reader Program?
Yes, it does.
And that's kept in the normal course of business?
Yes.
State will move to admit pursuant to 803 and 902.
Objection?
Just relevant, Your Honor.
What was the number again?
121.
121's admitted. 121's admitted, sorry.
Oh, thank you. If I can have that to publish, please. All right. Let's start with the first page of this. So is this a document that's part of the National License Plate Reader diesel system?
Yes, it is.
So in this case, when we are looking at the top here, first we see plate. Is that the plate that's associated with this vehicle that we see here?
Yes, it is.
So that's LWD0997?
Yes, and I believe that was a Texas license plate.
The location here, DEAFCUAZ Holbrook. Can you tell us what that means?
Depending on who the unit chief was at the time, they will name a camera, specifically if it's owned by DEA, a certain name. And a lot of times it will include at least a city or town that's fairly close to that location.
And is this license plate reader on the I-40?
Yes, it is.
And is this one located a little to the, I guess, west or east of Holbrook on the I-40?
Yes.
Okay. And then we see a time and a date. So is that October 1st of 2019?
Yes, it is.
And it's 6:52 Mountain Standard Time?
Yes.
At that time on October 1st of 2019, if we convert that to Arizona time, is it 5:52?
Yes, it would be that time of the year.
Okay. Over here we see highway name, you said I-40 westbound, and then direction giving us the westbound as well?
Yes.
In this photograph, we see the back of a vehicle with no tire on the back of it. Is that correct?
Correct.
And then was there a second page of this that gave a closer up of the license plate on this?
Yes, it does.
And is that what was documented in the sighting details of a Texas plate LWD0997?
Yes.
State has no other questions for this witness, Your Honor.
All right, cross.
Thomas, is that the only picture that you have in Arizona on October 1st of the Jeep Wrangler?
I'm sorry?
Is that the only picture, license plate reader picture, that you have in Arizona on October 1st?
Yes, that's the only picture in our diesel platform.
Okay. And how many license plate readers do you have in Gilbert, Arizona?
I am not sure on how many we exactly have.
Do you have any?
Yes, we do.
There's one on Gilbert Road, isn't there?
That I'm not sure. We have over 11,000 cameras that feed into the diesel platform.
Okay. What about in Mesa, Arizona? Are you aware of any in Mesa, Arizona?
I am unaware how many cameras that we have in Mesa, Arizona. We do have quite a few cameras, LPR cameras, in Arizona.
And so of all those cameras that you have along this way, when this incident happened in Gilbert, Arizona, you don't have any other pictures of this Jeep? Is that correct?
No, but there's several reasons why there may or may not be. A lot of times we do have software and hardware issues with our LPR cameras, so they will be down at times, depending on speed, how old the camera is, sometimes speed and the amount of traffic will also have a bearing on whether or not an image is captured. And then there's ways to defeat LPR cameras as well.
There are ways to defeat them?
I'm sorry?
There are ways to defeat them?
Yes.
Huh. Interesting.
Now, Your Honor, I'm going to object to that and move to strike defendant's comments.
The jury should disregard the noise that the defendant made after that answer. All right, go ahead and ask your
Sorry, Your Honor. So, Mr. Miller, of all your cameras, you have no other pictures on October 1st, 2019 of that Jeep Wrangler, is that correct?
I'm going to object to asked and answered twice already.
It is asked and answered, but he can go ahead and answer one more time.
That was that transaction of the diesel sighting was the only one in diesel.
Okay, so on October 2nd, you have no other pictures of this Jeep Wrangler as well, is that correct?
I'm not sure if that ever was ran. I'm not sure. What does happen is DEA does have a retention policy where as information or data that goes into the diesel platform is then expunged or deleted or purged from the diesel platform after 90 days.
And you don't have any from October 3rd as well, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so you don't have any from October 1st, October 2nd, or October 3rd, is that correct?
Not to my knowledge.
And do you know how far from Gilbert, Arizona, Holbrook, Arizona is?
I'm not for sure the exact distance.
Would you be surprised if it was 173 miles?
I don't object to speculation. Witness has already indicated he doesn't know.
He can answer if he knows.
I don't know that.
So that would be about 3 hours from Gilbert, Arizona?
Object to
the objection sustained. He didn't know how far it was.
No more questions, Your Honor.
All right, redirect.
Just briefly. So you told us that the DEA set up this system for drug trafficking. Is that correct?
Correct.
Does that then have an impact on where cameras are located?
Yes. We specifically try to target drug corridors and drug routes that are utilized by drug trafficking organizations.
So if you thought there might be some drug corridor going through Gilbert, then you might stick a DEA license plate reader there?
Correct. Or at least have a law enforcement partner that we will ingest their LPR camera data into diesel.
So would it be, let me ask this, are all license plate readers that you see across the country associated to diesel?
No.
So just because there may be a license plate reader on Gilbert Road, but does that mean that it's part of the diesel system?
No. In fact, there's so many different license plate reader programs out there that our program, comparatively to the totality of everything, is very small.
So DEA just ingests or has its own small percentage of cameras?
Yes.
They don't cover every single camera?
No, not at all.
You were asked about if a vehicle is driving in a drug trafficking corridor that the DEA is interested in, that there would be ways to defeat or not, I guess, be captured on these license plate readers. What did you mean by that?
There's definitely ways. they will remove their license plate. They will partially cover a plate. They will change a number temporarily. But a lot of times we will see things that will cover a plate or at least part of the plate to make sure that an LPR does not take an image.
And then you said the amount of traffic. So if traffic is busy, is LPR less successful in obtaining all of those vehicles and all of their license plates?
Yes. And depending on the age of the camera, there is a failure rate of the images that are taken by an LPR camera. So if there is a vehicle that is fairly close or tailgating another vehicle, it may not take a picture of the front vehicle.
Ultimately, in this case, what you're able to tell us is that on October 1st of 2019 at about 5:52 a.m., a Jeep Wrangler with an Texas license plate LWD0997 was going westbound on I-40 in Arizona?
Yes, correct.
Thank you. I have no other questions.
Are there any questions for this witness from the jury? I don't see any. Sir, you can step down.
Thank you.
And Judge, can we sidebar briefly?
Yeah, let's sidebar. All right, members of the jury, again, please don't put them close to the mics. That's what I think makes the feedback. I apologize for the late start we got this morning. We're going to break just a couple minutes early for the lunch recess, but we're going to start at 1:15 p.m. 1:15 p.m. Please remember the admonition.
All rise for the jury.
We'll be at recess till 1:15. All right, do you have your next witness here?
I do. Right. She's going to be really out of order.
Okay.
So I will make an offer of proof. She created the DNA profile for Alexander Cox.
Who are we talking about?
It's Emmy Lynn Sapinoso.
Okay.
She no longer works for Mesa Police Department. She moved out to California. So she created the DNA profile for the known sample from Alexander Cox. Detective Piller attended the autopsy and obtained the blood blot and impounded it himself. So.
That's where the profile came from?
Yes. So he will be testifying as to that later. Additionally, assuming we continue going, I also have Lisa Perry, who took the cuttings from the swabs that were obtained from the Jeep up in Rexburg, Idaho. I will not have the DNA analyst here till after Detective Piller is done testifying, but Lisa Perry, who just basically took the cuttings and stuck them into tubes so that Vanessa could do DNA profiles on them, is also here today. So my hope was to, out of order, call Emmy Lynn Sapinoso, Lisa Perry, and then I have Officer Marianne Robb. Then I would resume with Mr. Piller.
Okay, so from Emmy Lynn Sapinoso, you would be talking about the profile she created?
From the blood blot from Alexander Cox.
All right, but that's not a piece of evidence that's physically getting admitted.
No, it's not going to be physically admitted, but we have not had testimony of that, so I'm just making a record that I will be presenting testimony of that through Detective Piller. We just haven't got to it yet.
Okay, and then Lisa Perry will testify about cutting pieces of fabric out of the Jeep and impounding them.
Swabs were taken from like the steering wheel, door handles, seatbelt buckles, and Detective Pillar will testify that he observed all those being done and being all the safe techniques that were used. So he will be testifying as to that as well. But again, we haven't got there yet.
Are you going to show her the swabs? Are they here?
No, because they would be destroyed if we brought them here. And obviously we save them for any future testing should anyone ever request that to be done.
All right.
So we will just discuss the impound numbers.
Okay.
And what the swabs are.
All right. Is there any record the defendant wants to make?
We have a similar.
Sure. Are they lined up or? Okay.
I was there.
Because according to Tammy Lachek's report, she is the one that took the blood blot from Alex Cox. So we're going to just have our same objection to the Crawford that it's missing because she's not here to testify against it, about it. If Detective Pillar did witness that, I understand that, but it's not the same thing as her telling us how she did it, when she did it, why she did it, how that was processed.
Okay. The evidence, as I understand it, or the testimony, as I understand it, is that Amy Lynn Sapinoso is simply going to testify that she received a clot, a sample of blood or a blood clot, and then created the profile.
Correct.
Okay, so not to put the cart before the horse, but that's all she's testifying to at this point. So I understand your objection. I don't think we're to that point because they're not admitting it into evidence yet. So anything else?
Just that, is that not confusing to the jury to do it that
it could
out
be a
of
little,
order?
It could be a little confusing in that it's not a linear presentation of how things happened, but the state isn't required to call the witnesses in that that type of sequence if they're not able to. So,
Your Honor, obviously because we started 2 days late last week due to the defendant, it did throw the state's case off. We would have already had Detective Pillar already testifying and done before today. So we're doing what we can with what we got.
All right, let's bring the jury in. Please be seated. The jury's back. Again, we're still taking witnesses out of order. We'll get back to Detective Pillar, hopefully this afternoon. Go ahead and call your next witness.
Thank you.
All right, you're going to come right up here and my clerk will swear you in.
Can you please state and spell your first and last name? Thank you. Raise your right hand. You do solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Thank you. Around the court reporter up there.
Would you please introduce yourself to the jury?
I'm Emmy Lynn Sapinoso.
And where do you currently work?
I currently work at the Orange County District Attorney's Office in California as a forensic scientist.
Where did you work back in 2019?
In 2019, so prior to my current job, I was a forensic scientist at Mesa Forensic Services in Mesa, Arizona.
What did you do at the Mesa Forensic Services?
I was a forensic scientist there where I did serology, DNA analysis. I was the biology technical leader for 7 years, the last 7 years, and I did blood stain pattern analysis at crime scenes, and I was also a forensic artist the last year I was there.
Can you tell us your training and education to work as a forensic scientist in the area of DNA?
I have a bachelor's degree in biology and a master's degree in forensic science.
While working for the Mesa Police Department, did you undergo training to learn how to develop DNA profiles from samples?
Yes, I did. So most of my training was done in-house by other forensic scientists in our unit. And aside from that, I've gone to like external trainings, and I'm required to do at least 8 hours continuing education every year.
And back when you were working as a forensic services, was that for the Mesa Police Department?
Yes, it was.
Did you, while you were at the Mesa Police Department Forensic Services, undergo those same types of trainings, ongoing trainings, internal and external?
Yes.
Now, in the area of DNA, can you talk to us about first sort of DNA and what different, I guess, biological sources can be used to find DNA?
So DNA is what makes each person a human being. It comes from your parents. Half of it is from your mom. The other half is from your dad. The DNA analysis that's performed at a forensic laboratory is typically from biological fluids like blood, semen, saliva, and can also be collected from touch DNA or items that people touch and leave their skin cells on.
Now, was one part of your job to develop a DNA profile from what we call a known source of DNA?
Yes.
Can you tell us first what a known source means?
A known source of DNA is a sample that's collected directly from an individual.
And what do we mean by a DNA profile?
A DNA profile is the result that is obtained after DNA analysis is performed in the laboratory.
As a forensic scientist working for the Mesa Police Department, would the job sometimes be split where one forensic scientist would be required to create a DNA profile from a known and another one might create DNA profiles from unknown or items collected at a scene?
Yes, so that's pretty typical. It just depends on which forensic scientist is available to perform the work at any given time.
When you were working there back in 2019, did the Mesa Police Department contract to do DNA work for the Gilbert Police Department?
Yes.
In this case that we're talking about, did you perform the creating a DNA profile for the known, for a single known source for Alexander Cox?
Yes, I did.
were you provided with a property item 647961 from Alexander Cox?
Yes, so the Mesa reports will have a letter G in front of that to identify it as a Gilbert item.
Okay. And was that when you receive an item such as a blood clot, can you explain to us how you get that from the Gilbert Police Department? Is it sealed? Is it protected? Is it, what do they do to get that to you?
Yes, so the Mesa Forensic Services Laboratory has laboratory technicians who go over to the Gilbert Police Department to their evidence section to pick up any evidence that we need to do forensic analysis on. That then our laboratory technician brings the evidence back to the Mesa Forensic Services Laboratory, where it gets stored in the proper location for a forensic scientist to analyze. And any packaging or the way it's sealed is noted in our notes. And we ensure that it's properly sealed with evidence tape or tape that's marked with the person's initials and date who sealed it.
So when you received the blood blot, that item 647961, was that in a sealed evidence envelope?
Yes, it was.
Was it dated and signed to reflect that it was impounded by Gilbert Police Department?
Yes.
So when you receive a blood blot, can you tell us what that is?
A blood blot is typically taken from a coroner's office. They put it on sort of like a round filter paper where they put just spots of blood on there. And then when we get it in the laboratory, we take that filter paper and we take a cutting of the blood that's on that filter paper to forward for DNA analysis.
Is that what you did in this case?
Yes, I did.
And were you able to create a DNA profile from that blood blot from Alexander Cox?
Yes.
Were you asked to do any other analysis with regards to that DNA profile for Alexander Cox?
No, I did not.
Was that profile that you created documented in your report, in the notes, so that it could be reviewed by another analyst in any type of comparisons?
Yes.
Did that basically end your involvement with regards to this case and Alexander Cox?
Yes.
State has no other questions for this witness.
Cross.
No questions, Your Honor.
Are there any questions for this witness from any member of the jury? Not seeing any. You can step down. Thank you. State can call its next witness.
Thank you.
All right, you're going to come right up here in front of my clerk and be sworn in.
Well, can you please state and spell your first and last name? L-I-S-A-P-E-R-R-Y. Raise your right hand, please. You do solemnly swear.
Would you please introduce yourself to the jury?
Good afternoon. My name is Lisa Perry.
Where do you work?
I work for Mesa Police Forensic Services.
How long have you worked there?
It'll be 23 years next month.
And what are your current duties?
My current duties are to supervise the evidence processing unit.
What were your duties back in 2019 and 2020?
I was a forensic scientist assigned to the biology unit, which meant that I analyzed evidence of a crime for the presence of biological materials, substances that would yield a DNA profile, be it skin cells or a body fluid.
Can you tell us your education and training to work in that area?
Yes, I have a science background with a Bachelor's of Science in Marine Biology with a chemistry minor from Western Washington University. After some times in some biotechnology labs, I started my career with Mesa Forensics, where I entered their rigorous internal training program. After completion of that by qualified analysts, I also took training by the California Criminalistics Institute and National Forensic Science Technology Center in body fluid identification.
Back in January, end of December, January of 2020, were you responsible for often preparing swabs that were taken at scenes of potential biological material for DNA testing?
Yes, I was.
Can you tell us a little bit about what that means and what that process is?
When swabs have already been collected at a scene, what I will do is receive them from our evidence section, or they'll be transferred to us from another agency's evidence section. I will prepare my workspace to handle the evidence, meaning that I will wear a lab coat and goggles and gloves and things that will protect me from the evidence, and the evidence will be protected from me. I will clean my lab space with 90% bleach solution. I will put down clean paper and have sterile utensils that I will work on to analyze the items of evidence. When I look at the item of evidence, I'm going to take detailed notes and then open it up, identify the contents, take copious notes again, and then I'm going to remove swab material from those sticks. They are similar to like a sterile Q-tip. So that is what I'm receiving. I'm going to remove that swab material from those sticks and portion half of it to go forward for DNA analysis, and the other half is going to be retained should further testing ever be required. And then that little tube will go into a sealed envelope in order for a DNA analyst to analyze it.
Going back to January, I think 2nd of 2020, were you provided with several swabs from the Gilbert Police Department in relation to this case?
Yes, I was.
And were those swabs, can you tell us, are they sealed? How do you know that they haven't been tampered with when you received them?
Well, I would need to refer to my specific notes, but my notes would indicate whether or not they had been tampered, how they appeared, the packaging appeared, and I make notes that they are properly tape sealed, dated, and initialed with an integrity seal.
So you are the one that has to unseal them and open them up?
Yes.
Would looking at your notes help refresh your recollection as to whether or not that occurred here?
It would.
Do you have a copy of them up there with you?
I do. May I look at them?
Take a look at them to refresh your recollection and let us know after you're done with that.
Go ahead.
And each item still had its integrity seal. I noted how it was packaged, what it was labeled, and nothing appeared to have been tampered with.
Were you provided with a swab 645889 indicated as a swab from a steering wheel?
Yes, I was.
Were you provided with a swab 645889 swab from the driver's side seatbelt?
Yes, I was.
Were you provided with a swab 645893 swab from the gear shift?
Yes, I was.
You provided with a swab 645-89 from the passenger side interior door handle?
Yes, I was.
Were you provided with swab 645-895 swabs from the lug nuts of a spare tire?
Yes, I was.
Were you provided with swab 645-896, a swab from the driver's side interior handle?
Yes, I was.
What did you do then specifically in this case with each of those swabs?
As I stated previously, I would remove that swab material from each of the swab sticks. I would portion out half of it to go forward in a tube for DNA analysis. It would be labeled with its original parent property D number that she just listed off, plus an extra set of letters to identify that it came from that parent item. So the number she provided is the parent. And then I basically made what we call babies, little cuttings that came off of that. So it would add an AA that would go forward for DNA analysis, and it would have an AB that was going to be retained in the lab should the future testing ever be necessary. So I put it on it in a tube. I had that label on that. That label went into a clear envelope that I heat sealed and had my integrity seal with my date and initials on top of that. And then that went into the DNA queue for another analyst.
So at the Mesa Police Department at that time, would another analyst come in and take those cuttings that you created to attempt to create DNA profiles from each of those items?
That is what would happen, yes.
And so in terms of your involvement, were you involved in doing any type of analysis for this case?
No, I wasn't. Just preparing the samples.
And did that sort of end your involvement in this case, creating those cuttings?
Yes, it did.
Thank you. The state has no further questions for this witness.
Cross?
No questions, Your Honor.
Any questions for this witness from the jury? I don't see any. You can step down.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to go get my next
All right, go ahead and come up here in front of my clerk.
Hello. Can you please state and spell your first and last name?
My name is Mary Ann Roth. MariAnnRoth.
Thank you. Raise your right hand, please. If you can swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So have you got?
Yes, ma'am.
Around the clerk of the ring.
Would you please introduce yourself to the jury?
Hi, my name is Mary Ann Robb. I am a retired police officer with the town of Gilbert, Arizona.
When did you retire?
Retired July 9th, 2021.
How long did you work for the Gilbert Police Department?
I was with Gilbert 26 years and a law enforcement officer in Arizona for 34 years.
Where did you work prior to Gilbert?
Started with Mesa Police Department back in 1988, and then I was Pine Top Lakeside Police Department for 6.5 years, and started with Gilbert PD in 1995.
Okay. What were your duties at the Gilbert Police Department?
Pretty much patrol. Most of my career was patrol. I was also a crime prevention officer for approximately a year and a half. I was also an arson detective and a property crimes detective for approximately 3 years.
Were you on duty on October 2nd of 2019 around 9:15 in the morning?
Yes, I was.
At that time, did you respond to a 911 call of a shooting at 3875 East Phelps Street in Gilbert, Maricopa County, Arizona?
Yes, I was.
Can you describe for us what you saw when you arrived at 3875 East Phelps Street?
There was a gentleman standing pretty much in the street, just in front of his home. There was also a dark-colored Tesla vehicle that was parked there, and I noticed that just to the driver's door on the ground was a window that was laying on the ground.
Was the Tesla in the road or in the driveway when you arrived?
It was in the driveway.
Okay. When you first arrived there, did you speak with this individual you saw on the road?
Yes, I did.
Who was that?
He identified himself as Brandon Boudreau.
Okay. After speaking with Brandon Boudreau for a while, did you go look at the Tesla?
Yes, I did.
Now, prior to looking at the Tesla, did you have a lot of information about the type of gun or the shooting or anything like that?
Just what dispatch gave us while en route to the call. Don't know, did not have what type, I mean, an actual specific type of weapon, but we knew it was some type of weapon, possibly a rifle. And that's pretty much all we had.
Okay. Were you solo when you arrived? Was there any other officers with you initially?
Not initially, it was just myself.
Okay. When you went up to the Tesla, can you tell us what you saw and where?
The Tesla, the vehicle itself was all closed up, all the doors were shut. And I looked up onto the frame of the actual car. Just above would be where the headrest is, but it's on the outside where the frame is of the car. And I noticed that there was a hole in the top of the car, and it looked to me like it was a bullet hole.
Now, in your 34 years as a police officer, have you seen bullet holes in vehicles before?
Yes, I have.
As a law enforcement officer, we obviously know you carry a weapon. Do you also have your own guns and shoot, I guess, personally?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So when you saw this hole in the Tesla, and I'm going to put up Exhibit 26. Pull it out a little. Is this what you saw?
Yes, I did. Exactly.
So you told us when you saw this, you recognized it as a bullet hole.
Yes.
Had Mr. Boudreau, when you first contacted him, said anything about a BB gun or something like that?
I made a comment about that. At first he thought maybe it could have been a BB gun because he noticed that his windshield or his driver's side window kind of shattered.
Did he indicate that anything had come in and hit him, like whether there was a hole through the window?
No.
So you go up to this hole, this bullet hole. Did you think that was made by a BB gun?
Definitely not. No.
Did Brandon come up with you to look at his vehicle?
He did after. Okay. I initially looked at it.
And did he make any statement when he saw you looking at that hole?
He says he definitely wasn't a BB gun or pellet gun or paintball gun. It, nothing like that.
Do you recall him saying that he hadn't seen that before you pointing it out?
Oh, that's correct, yes.
So when he first came up and saw you looking at that, did he indicate, oh, wow, I didn't see that?
Yes, he did.
Did you initially utilize your flashlight to try to see if you could find an exit or the projectile in there?
Yes, I did.
And were you able to find an exit at that point?
No.
Did you, in fact, ask him to open up the rear door of the Tesla so you could look and see if there was any exit into the car?
Yes, I did.
Did you find an exit?
I did not.
Did you then use a pen to try to see if you could find an exit or a projectile in there?
I used my pen also to see if I could figure out the trajectory of where the bullet, so I can think of, okay, where can I possibly locate that bullet? So that's why I put my pen in there to try to figure out what was the way it was, the way it was traveling in the car to see okay. if I can find.
Once you realize that there's this bullet hole in the frame of the Tesla vehicle, did you go back to your vehicle to do anything?
Yes, I did.
What did you go back to your vehicle to do?
Well, I made a phone call to one of my officers that was also in the area looking for a suspect vehicle. And I explained to him that this is no BB gun. This is an actual bullet hole, and we do have a crime here. So I asked him if he would come over to my location to assist me in starting basically a crime scene.
Okay. Did you want him to look at that as well?
Oh, yes.
Help you to see if there was an exit or anything like that as well?
Correct.
Did you get a camera to try to take some photographs as well to document what you were seeing right then?
I took some photographs. I used my police, we have an iPhone, and I was using that, and I was taking pictures of the whole scene.
Okay.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Looking for the perfect getaway in the heart of Red Rock Country? Discover Grand Plateau RV Resort in Kanab, Utah, where comfort meets adventure. Spacious RV sites, luxury cabins, and top-tier amenities make every stay unforgettable. Take a dip in the heated pool, relax in the spa, or unwind with private restrooms and pickleball too. Minutes from Zion, Bryce Canyon, and the Grand Canyon, Grand Plateau RV Resort is your ideal base camp for exploring the Southwest's natural wonders. And when the day winds down, enjoy starry skies and peaceful nights under the desert sky. Adventure, comfort, and convenience. That's Grand Plateau RV Resort. Book your stay today at gprvresort.com.
I can't tell you how often I hear, oh, I'm a little OCD. I like things neat. That's not OCD. I'm Howie Mandel, and I know this because I have OCD. Actual OCD causes relentless, unwanted thoughts. What if I did something terrible and forgot? What if I'm a bad person? Why am I thinking this terrible thing? It makes you question absolutely everything, and you'll do anything to feel better. OCD is debilitating, but it's also highly treatable with the right kind of therapy. Regular talk therapy doesn't cut it. OCD needs specialized therapy. That's why I want to tell you about NoCD. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for OCD. Their licensed therapists provide specialized therapy virtually, and it's covered by insurance for over 155 million Americans. If you think you might be struggling with OCD, visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call and learn more. That's NoCD.com.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Looking for the perfect getaway in the heart of Utah's scenic beauty? Welcome to Mountain Valley RV Resort in the stunning Heber Valley, Utah's highest rated RV destination. Enjoy spacious RV sites, cozy cabins, and tent spots, all nestled against the stunning Rocky Mountains and shadow of Mount Timpanogos. Dive into heated pools, relax in hot tubs, or challenge friends on pickleball courts. Families love the playgrounds and sports courts, while adults can unwind in exclusive 21-plus areas featuring a luxurious clubhouse and spa. With top-notch amenities and breathtaking views, Mountain Valley RV Resort offers an unforgettable experience year-round. Whether you're seeking adventure or relaxation, Mountain Valley RV Resort is your home away from home. Book your stay today at mountainvalleyrv.com.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle. With Ultra Titanium Alloy Metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Looking for the perfect getaway in the heart of Red Rock Country? Discover Grand Plateau RV Resort in Kanab, Utah, where comfort meets adventure. Spacious RV sites, luxury cabins, and top-tier amenities make every stay unforgettable. Take a dip in the heated pool, relax in the spa, or unwind with private restrooms and pickleball too. Minutes from Zion, Bryce Canyon, and the Grand Canyon, Grand Plateau RV Resort is your ideal base camp for exploring the Southwest's natural wonders. And when the day winds down, enjoy starry skies and peaceful nights under the desert sky. Adventure, comfort, and convenience. That's Grand Plateau RV Resort. Book your stay today at gprvresort.com.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle. With Ultra Titanium Alloy Metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Looking for the perfect getaway in the heart of Utah's scenic beauty? Welcome to Mountain Valley RV Resort in the stunning Heber Valley, Utah's highest rated RV destination. Enjoy spacious RV sites, cozy cabins, and tent spots, all nestled against the stunning Rocky Mountains and shadow of Mount Timpanogos. Dive into heated pools, relax in hot tubs, or challenge friends on pickleball courts. Families love the playgrounds and sports courts, while adults can unwind in exclusive 21-plus areas featuring a luxurious clubhouse and spa. With top-notch amenities and breathtaking views, Mountain Valley RV Resort offers an unforgettable experience year-round. Whether you're seeking adventure or relaxation, Mountain Valley RV Resort is your home away from home. Book your stay today at mountainvalleyrv.com.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle. With Ultra Titanium Alloy Metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Looking for the perfect getaway in the heart of Red Rock Country? Discover Grand Plateau RV Resort in Kanab, Utah, where comfort meets adventure. Spacious RV sites, luxury cabins, and top-tier amenities make every stay unforgettable. Take a dip in the heated pool, relax in the spa, or unwind with private restrooms and pickleball too. Minutes from Zion, Bryce Canyon, and the Grand Canyon, Grand Plateau RV Resort is your ideal base camp for exploring the Southwest's natural wonders. And when the day winds down, enjoy starry skies and peaceful nights under the desert sky. Adventure, comfort, and convenience. That's Grand Plateau RV Resort. Book your stay today at gprvresort.com.